All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter number 10. The book of Romans, chapter number 10. I love the book of Romans. It is what I would call tonight the foundation of our faith. Adrian Rogers said it's the book that is the bedrock of what we believe. And we thank God for that book. Without it, we would be in trouble. If you only had 65 books in your Bible, but the book of Romans is a wonderful, wonderful book, and it clears up a lot of things, and it gives us really just what salvation is, the responsibility that we have as a church to get the gospel to the world. And there's so many things in this book, but in chapter number 10, many times it's where we would go if we were preaching the gospel, Brother Brock, to somebody that needed to be saved. And we were telling them what the Bible says on what the scripture is clear on. What does it mean to be born again? And we would go to the verses and verses number 9 and 10. Now let's read it tonight. Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that seems pretty clear to me tonight. Amen. Not real complicated. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all, I like that, is rich unto all that call upon him. God is not a Calvinist.
Amen.
Amen. He did not choose this group over here to go to heaven and this group over here to go to hell, and put you in a category based upon the fact that he's God and he can do what he wants to. The Bible says that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then the classic verse that ought to give us the assurance of our salvation. If you have bowed your knee at the foot of the cross and you have believed the gospel, in verse 13, for whosoever, you can plug your name in there, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Amen. Now many times we stop right there, and that's a wonderful passage of scripture that we would read and that we would preach to a sinner. And that's really the message that we take to the world in a nutshell. Romans 10, 9 through 13 would tell a lost, hell-bound sinner how to get to heaven when they die. But the scripture goes on to say in verse number 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And then the scripture asked the question, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16 says sadly, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now there's so many thoughts that are going through my mind this afternoon, and I, to be honest with you, I've just been kind of putting together some thoughts that the Lord laid upon my heart the past 24 hours or so. And I talked to some people this morning, and it weighed upon me. There was an individual that was here today, and she said, you know, We drove 2 hours to get to church this morning. And she stated where she lived, and she said that we have looked for a Bible preacher for a year and a half. And she said, we have yet to find a preacher. I know of another couple that was here that they drove about an hour and 25 minutes. And they're not able to come all the time just because of living so far away. And once again, the testimony of those individuals are, we just can't find a preacher. Just can't find a man that could stand up and open the Bible and tell us what thus saith the Lord from the words of God. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, man, we are blessed individuals that God would allow the East River Baptist Church to not only have a good pastor and a man that God sent me. I'm not much, but I am a God-called preacher, and I feel it a privilege to be able to serve under such a great man as Pastor Roger Hoots. But not only the fact that we have a wonderful preacher, we have a wonderful pastor. He's not just a preacher. He's a pastor. He can preach and he can pastor. We got the best of both worlds. There's a lot of places I've been where they have a man. He's a real good preacher, but he's just not a good pastor. Then I've been to some other places in my travels where they have a real good pastor, but he's just not a very good preacher. But man, if you can get both of those things together, we are blessed individuals tonight. And so I wonder tonight if you just maybe on a Sunday night, we won't stay here very long. I kept you too late this morning. But I wonder tonight if it might be healthy if we just thank God for the preacher. I mean, have you ever just stopped in your life and said, Lord, thank you for the preachers that you put in my life? Now, we don't have time to do it tonight. But the Bible does say, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You ought to thank God for the preacher tonight. The preachers that God put in your life. From a young child all the way up until tonight. Not everybody's blessed to have a preacher. There's a lot of places that don't have a preacher. There's a lot of towns across Texas. And we are the buckle of the Bible Belt. And yet there are places all across Texas where there is a span of an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours before you can find a good, solid, balanced, Bible-believing, King James, conservative, level-headed. I mean, there's so many types out there. If you can just find somebody that's about halfway normal, you're a blessed individual. I'm saying tonight, God's been good to us. And we ought to thank God for the preacher tonight. There's been times in my life when I didn't have a preacher. I was thinking back of 2013 when I was pastoring, and I went through a major storm in my life personally. And it's about the lowest I've ever been. 2011, 2012, I was at the lowest that I have ever been in my life. As a young man, and I remember laying on my living room floor in Portales, New Mexico, as a broken, beat up, battered young pastor that had about lost everything in my life at that particular time, and laying there on the floor and thinking, my goodness, I don't even have a man I can pick up the phone and call. Because the man that I had sat under and was supposedly my pastor had compromised and went a different direction and was using the ESV and had switched from Independent Baptist to Reformed Southern Baptist. And I thought, I can't call him. And then the man that I grew up under was going through some own personal things. And I just remember thinking, I don't even have a preacher in my life that I can call. Well, what a terrible place to be tonight. We do tonight. Thank God tonight for the preacher. Don't ever get used to it tonight. God could have chose a whole lot of things to get His gospel message that we just read to the world. But you know what He chose? He chose a preacher. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, preaching don't make a lot of sense. Preaching to the human intellect doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, he did not say that God chose foolish preaching. But he did choose the foolishness of preaching. In other words, to the average intellectual, it's not going to make much sense that we would come and sit under a man that opened up a Bible, read some verses, and then told us what God said from a book that was written, 4,000 years ago with all these various different authors and was given over a period of about 1,600 years. And you mean we're going to put our confidence in that? Yes, because it's the words of God. So God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now sometimes a preacher comes across as he has to choose between couth or truth. Paul said, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. Now some men, they try to make the gospel more offensive. And you don't have to make the gospel more offensive. The gospel is already, Brother Bo, offensive enough. Jesus Christ is called a stumbling block. You preach Christ and Him crucified, and it's going to be offensive to the religious crowd that you would go against their religion. But sometimes the presentation of the gospel and what God said, you can say, well, I'm just going to have some couth this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and preach the truth. And sometimes the truth don't have a lot of couth. And to the listener, as Paul said, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. So thank God tonight for the preacher that's willing to preach the truth, even if it cost him some of his couth. Does that make sense tonight? Thank God for the preacher tonight. I'm thinking tonight about the obligation that God has placed upon this church to pray for our pastor. You say, well, all I got to do is join a church. There's a lot of responsibilities. I've got so many thoughts going through my mind tonight, but I'm just trying to bring us to the place tonight where we can say, thank God for the preacher. You know what your children need tonight? Preacher. You know why? Because they need preaching. You ever noticed you get these little kids in church, it don't seem like they're paying no attention. And you get a man that stands up and preaches and they're down there coloring. They're down on the floor playing with their little cars and maybe they got their little Barbie down there and a man's preaching. And man, I mean, they'll be way down, kind of hid back behind there, and the Lord might just show up. And it don't make no sense, but He's walking up and down the aisles and through the pews, and we can't see it, Brother Kyle, with our physical eyes, but there is the person of the God that we cannot see, where there's an unseen hand working. Now, we as Japhethites, we like to measure everything. We like to know when God's moving, when He's not moving, who He uses, what song He uses, what sermon He uses, what illustration He uses. And the truth is, you can't measure God because He's doing things that we cannot see behind the scenes. Case in point, child be down there, rolling around a little old car, the preacher be preaching, and pretty soon, you know what they do? They poke their little head up over the edge of the pew. They start looking around. Sometimes you don't even think they're paying attention. That's why we don't send our kids off on a Sunday morning to another service. I know some churches do that. I'm not preaching against those churches. But I'm just saying, preaching still gets the job done. You say, why? Because God chose it. God chose it. We didn't choose this. God did. You preach that book by faith and let God do what God does, and a man stand up the way God said for a man to do it, even if it don't make any sense, and God will bless what He said He would bless. And it's so simple, but yet we try to complicate it. We say, well, we got to capitalize on programs, or we got to have some carnal people in our church to try to, make sure we can draw them in. Or maybe they even have a compromising preacher in that church. And you say, all God wants is God wants a man that can stand up and just do what God said, the way God said it, in the manner God said to do it. And God said, hey, I'll bless it. Without a preacher, your kids wouldn't get saved. You know how I got saved? I was 9 years old, and I might not have looked like I was paying much attention. Might have been like Wyatt over here, you know, just sitting there, and he's being a good boy. Amen? Good job, Brother Wyatt. He's listening, not making no trouble. But I mean, if you looked over there, you might think, he's probably not getting much. But you don't know what God's doing. You don't know what God's doing. Amen. The Holy Ghost knows how to find this. By the way, without a preacher tonight, thank God for the preacher, without one, we would have never been found. You know why? Because we were lost. Before God found you, you know what you were? You was in the same condition as Jeffrey Dahmer. Amen. You was in the same condition as Charles Manson. You say, well, I'm a church brat. Still going to the same hell. Still just as lost. You know what those men need? They need a preacher. That's why we got one that go to the death row prison. We support him, Brother John. If Brother John's watching, we thank God for Brother John Yalls going to the prison and preaching to those men. Because you know what they need on death row? A preacher. You know what they need in the juniors? You know what these kids need? They need a preacher. You know what these teenagers need in here tonight? They need a preacher. You know what you old heads need in here tonight? You need a preacher. You know what you middle-aged individuals need tonight? You need a preacher. Man, woman, child, teenager, divorced, whole family, got it all together, white, black, Mexican, name it, amen. You know what they need? They need a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? As a matter of fact, how shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? They ain't going to do any calling without a preacher. And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? They ain't going to without a preacher. And how shall they hear without a preacher? The truth is, they're not going to hear without a preacher tonight. Without a preacher, we've never been found. You say, what difference does it make? I mean, there's this whole world and all these people are lost and we're just one church and one little community with one little group of people. I mean, what difference is it going to make that we're going to, you know, win a soul here or win a soul there? I mean, the world's too big and we're too few in number. It reminds me of that story. You probably heard it before. I may have told it. Us preachers only got a few illustrations and we just preach them again. And somebody, I was listening to a preacher and he said, you know, my wife says, you know, you already told that illustration. And he said, I told my wife, well, you sang that song before too, amen, so I'm going to tell the illustration again. Amen. We like to hear the same stories again. Maybe somebody hadn't heard it. There's a storm that came and hit the beach there in one of these beautiful seashores. And there was a little boy that was walking out there. And as far as you can see this direction, and as far as you can see this direction, was those sea stars. I mean, them things are pretty. If you can find them on the ocean, you know, after they've been dried up, you can take them things home and put them on a shelf, you know, as a souvenir. And man, there was literally thousands, maybe tens of thousands of these sea stars that this storm had sucked up out of the ocean, and they were all over the beach. And there was a little boy, about 10 years old, and he was walking, Brother Kyle, there on the seashore, and he was picking up those sea stars and throwing them back in the water. He'd reach down amongst the tens of thousands, pick one up, and throw it out in the water. There was an older man walking in the next direction, and he saw that little boy picking up those sea stars. Again, he was having to step over them. There's so many of them. And he started making fun of that little boy and kind of laughing and snickering and said, man, son, don't you see there's literally thousands, if not tens of thousands of sea stars on the beach here? You ain't making a difference. He said, a little boy reached down there and picked one up. He said, made a difference in that one. Reached down and grabbed another one and said it made a difference in that one. I'm glad when the Lord came by amongst the multitudes, that He reached down amongst the multitudes, picked me up, amen, and threw out the lifeline, and we're here tonight by the good grace of God. You say, why? Because He made a difference in this one. And He made a difference in that one tonight. So don't let the responsibility that God has given us as a church to become overwhelming. How shall they hear without a preacher? Just, you know how you win the world? One soul at a time. Same way you eat an elephant. One bite at a time, amen? It's a big task, but there's a God in heaven that has given us the responsibility to reach a world. And without a preacher, without a man of God, we would have never been found. You know what? Without one, we would have never been freed from our sin. You ever thought about the shackles and the chains of sin that bound us? And the Lord Jesus Christ sent a man by when we were shackled and chained. Or maybe he sent a man like Brother Lauren by. And he had his neighbor that had struggled for all those years. And I don't know much about your neighbor that you've been bringing to church. And man, he was bound. Bound by unbelief. Bound by the sins of this world. Bound up. You say, what happened? Amen. God sent his neighbor by and said, come on down to the house of God. We just get you down there, like I preached this morning, like John said there. He said, come and see. Andrew, come and see. Amen. We have found him. Amen. And listen, you just come and see what the Lord's doing. You might, amen, just get touched. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that I came and I saw the good hand of God, and I saw the man that stood up and he preached to me, and I had enough sense, enough faith. Amen. Because God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. By the way, the faith that you had to believe was the faith that God gave you to believe, because he hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And you say, well, how much faith does it take? Just the grain of a mustard seed. So tonight, without God sending forth a Brother Lauren, that man would have never been freed from his sin. Do you remember when you was chained? We all had different chains in our life. Some of you was chained by alcohol. Some of you was chained by drugs. Some of you was chained, amen, just by being a church brat. Amen. You know what some people's problem is? They ain't never sinned. You listening? One of the most scary places to be is somebody that was raised in this thing your whole life. And it's a good thing to be sheltered. But listen, church kids. One of the most dangerous places you'll ever get in is whenever you grow up in this thing your whole life and you ain't never sinned. Now, I know we've all sinned, but I'm talking about the big ones. And amen, you've went to Sunday school. You was in the nursery at 3 days old. You was at Sunday school from a little youngin'. You sat in a church pew and you heard preaching your whole life. And you never really did anything bad. And you go through and you're hanging on to daddy's coattail or mama's skirt tail. And you think for some reason that because mama saved and daddy saved and grandpa saved and grandma saved and you ain't really done nothing bad that you're okay. Without a preacher, you'll never be freed from your own spiritual pride. You know pride sends people to hell? The fearful and the unbelieving, Revelation 21:8. Some of you young people, you've been raised in this thing, and you're fearful of what your friends are going to think. Because you ain't never just said, you know what? I ain't never drank. I've never smoked. I've never committed adultery or fornication. I've never looked at pornography. And I really don't tell that many lies. I'm a pretty good kid because I want to please mom and dad. But you ain't never come to the place to say, you know what? That preacher's right. I still need to be freed from my own sin. Because wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon what? All men. For that all have sinned. And you've never turned from your spiritual pride and came down to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. And you got born again just like the drunk. Or just like the drug addict. You see, without a preacher, you won't never be freed from that sin. I'm glad tonight for the preacher, amen, that freed me. He told me the message, amen, where Christ, the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So tonight, we ought to thank God for the preacher. Don't never get used to it. That God gave you a place where you could come and you could, amen, meet with God's people. Never get mad at the preacher. I don't understand people that get mad at a preacher for telling them the truth. Amen. You ought to just make up your mind. He might say something to offend you, but he ain't trying to. His goal is not to run you out. His goal is to get you in. And he might say something. He might be in a bad mood. You know preachers have moods too? Because they have the care of all the churches, as Paul said, weighing upon their back. But you ought to make up your mind that you're just going to stick with the man of God. You're going to be like Luke that said, you know what, I'm going to stick with Paul. Paul said at the end of his life, he did say it in 2 Timothy 4, he said, all men forsook me, but then he said over there, only Luke is with me. Be a Luke that just says, I'm going to stick with the Paul. When everybody else goes away, everybody else gets offended, everybody else wears their feelings on their shoulder, I'm just going to make up my mind by the good grace of God. I'm going to say thank God for the preacher, because if I didn't have a preacher in my life, I wouldn't be saved. Without a preacher, I wouldn't have my family. Without a preacher, I wouldn't have the joy of the Lord in my heart. Without a preacher, amen, I wouldn't have the things that I have tonight. I'm telling you, we ought to thank God tonight for the preacher. Thank God for the preacher tonight. Verse 15 says of the text, and how shall they preach except they be sent? I wonder tonight, is God still calling men? I don't believe in mama called and papa sent preachers. I'm against that, Brother Mark. But where are, Brother Terry, the young men that are going out? Where are they at? Have you ever struggled with the possibility that God might call you? I still believe in the call of God, the call to preach. So how do you know? You just know. God puts the desire inside you. You can't get away from that call. You can't get away from that desire. Somebody said, man, it's preach or bust. I mean, you can't do nothing else. I've tried when God called me to preach. I remember that process. Man, I had that desire. I just woke up one day and had a desire to preach. I had never had that desire. And I went several months, Miss Mary. Man, I prayed, said, Lord, I don't want to make a mistake. Man, I'd go to the altar and pray, said, Lord, I think you want me to preach. And then, man, pretty soon it was like, Lord, I'm pretty sure you want me to preach. Then it was, Lord, I know you want me to preach. And then at the end of that thing on that Sunday night, I was sitting right back where Brother Gary's sitting. And I was taking up the offering. That's where the ushers sat. And man, my preacher got up on that Sunday night. And man, that whole service, I don't remember what he preached on. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, at the invitation time, I'm going to get up out of my pew and I'm going to come down and I'm going to surrender to full-time Christian service. I'm going to surrender to be a preacher. I'm going to make it public, tell everybody. And that prayer was not, Lord, I think, I'm pretty sure, I hope, it was, Lord, I know you called me to preach, and if you don't want me to, you better help me to fall flat on my face before I get to the front and make a fool out of myself. You know what he didn't do? He didn't make me fall, amen? I'm just saying, where are those men? Where are the men that would go off and say, here am I, Lord, send me? And how shall they preach, verse 15, except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet. Now, I'm glad God sees my feet differently than I see my feet. Or my wife sees my feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of, look at this, good things. You say, what are we preaching tonight? We're preaching good things. You know what the goal is tonight? I'm done. You know what the goal is tonight? It's to lift him up. Get him as high as we can get lifted up. And if you leave in here, you say, man, that was a good sermon. That was good preaching. And I know people say that and know what you mean. I say it too sometimes. Man, that was a good sermon. That was a good message. That was a good preaching. But really, you know what the goal is? The goal is this. What a wonderful Savior. Boy, how beautiful He is. How wonderful He is. How worthy He is. Believe I'll just go on another day. Keep on serving the Lord. Because how beautiful is the one that brought peace in my life. The one that brought joy in my life. The one that picked up all the broken pieces and put it all back together. I couldn't have done that. You couldn't have done that. Religion could not have done that. But thank God for the preacher that stood up and told us about a man that could. We came and got at his feet and he fixed it. And you say, man, I got problems in my life. Sometimes life is like you'll find yourself in a hole. You ever just felt like you're in a hole, Brother James? It's like that old boy that was digging a well. And he's down there digging. And right at the bottom of that thing, I mean, he was way down there, about 50 feet. Never did hit water. And he's listening down there, and he had some old mules. Donkeys, you know, running around the pasture. And he heard that mule down there, you know, neighing. Whatever they'd make, amen. I mean, they can make some noises, man. He heard that thing down in there. And he took his friend. He said, man, you're not going to believe this. He said, one of my mules done fell down in the hole that I dug 50 feet down there. He's alive. He said, what do I do? He said, well, just bury him. Just bury him. You know, that's what some of you like the mule. You're at the bottom of a hole. And you feel like the world's trying to bury you. So that's what he said he's going to do. So he took his shovel out, and he stuck that shovel down there in that dirt, and he threw it down there on top of that mule. You know what that mule did? And he filled that hole in, and that dirt got all the way to the top. You know what that mule did? Walked right on out. You see, the only way that you're going to get out of the hole is you got to shake off the dirt and just step up. And eventually, you'll step out. Amen. Eventually, you'll step out. So get out of the hole. Just shake it off and go on for God. But make up your mind. In this crazy world, we live in a crazy, ungodly, sin-cursed world where what we're doing tonight is made fun of, it's downplayed, it's not taken seriously. It is sad. I know, again, this is not for people out there in the internet land that can't be here. I know there's circumstances and people have things going on. I'm not talking about that. But isn't it sad in a world that's fallen apart, that our Sunday night services aren't busting at the seams because people are trying to get their family around the preaching of the Word of God because they believe what the Lord said about it? You ought to make up your mind tonight, and you're here. You are the cream of the crop. Amen. You're the best of the best, and I commend you. You ought to make up your mind tonight to thank God for the preacher. Don't get mad at him. Pray for him tonight. He's coming home. A lot of spiritual warfare going on, and he needs our prayers. Pray for him. Continue to take care of him. Continue to love him. And man, y'all do a great job. I watch this church. I think, man, this is a wonderful thing. And that's why God has his hand on East River, because East River knows what they've got, and they're thankful for it. So the message tonight is not a rebuke or a reproof, but rather just a reminder to thank God for the preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher tonight? How shall they hear without a preacher? Let's pray tonight. Father, Lord, I do thank you for giving me a preacher. Not just a preacher, but a pastor, Lord, that loves me and prays for me. And Lord, not only the preacher and the pastor that I have now, but Lord, as I go down memory lane and I think about all the different men in my life that you put in my life to reprove me and rebuke me and exhort me, preach to me, pray for me and love me. And Lord, tonight I thank you, Lord, for the preachers that you put in my life. And I pray tonight for each and every one of the saints of God in here tonight that you would Lord, help us to make a commitment in our own hearts and minds. Lord, to just stick with the preacher and to love the preacher and pray for the preacher and thank God for the preacher. And Father, help us, Lord, to remain faithful. And Lord, when we find ourselves down in the holes and the pits of this old world, I pray, God, that you help us do what that old mule did, just shake it off and step up. Lord, eventually we step out and just go on for God. And Father, we love you tonight and we thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you for a good day today. And before we say amen tonight, I pray that you would protect our pastor, Miss Cindy and Sister April, as they travel back from Broken Bow. I pray that you put a hedge of protection around them, keep them safe. And Father, tonight I pray that you would, Lord, bless the services tomorrow for Maria and her homegoing. I pray that you comfort the hearts of Brother Fabian and all the family and all that will be there that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that you'd once again plant some seeds and water them. And I pray, God, that in your timing and by your grace that you would, Lord, give the increase. And Lord, help us to love you and serve you all the days of our life. And Father, thank you, Lord, for a good day in the Lord's house. We ask all this tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,